I remember when we used to do Bitrate, we used to sort of think about like how we'd start. And sometimes we were like, this isn't how we start the show.
Yeah, this is how we start this show,
though. That is how we start the show. So I've been working on the upgrading the offer for the undo thing.
Yeah.
So undo the illegitimate stepchild of Convergence. My other podcast. I'm looking at the sort of, you know, the how I get supported to do this thing full time, which is the plan. And so that necessitated having a better pitch. And like, I asked some people, like, what do you make of this pitch? Like I think I said, like roast, I went to a group of people who do, basically this is what they do. And the group is about this, you know, taking your creative thing and, you know, being able to earn from it. And it's run by a guy called Jay Klaus, who's like the guy that you speak to about these things in a kind of non-douchebag way. He's the non-douchebag version of this. And there are plenty of douchebag versions of this. So I go to the group and I says, roast my roast my paid upgrade page. And I get a couple of responses, but they're like, I don't care about what you're offering me. Like, I don't care about it being ad-free. It makes no difference to me, or I don't care about whatever. And like, none of them were like, I don't want to support the show. One of them's actually a listener and loves the show, which is lovely.
Nice.
But it was kind of like in that way that you Americans tend to be, very direct and very like, I don't care about this thing. Which, okay. I don't want this. Okay. You know, which has its uses. And so I was like, cool. All right. No worries. And I, you know, had some thoughts and chatted with, the GPT of it all, and brainstormed with a bunch of ideas. And one of them, one or two of them I kind of really liked. And sort of ran with that and built a whole page yesterday that I was really pleased with and got this sort of nice fresh green avocado motif and it just looks cool. And so I wrote all this copy and made all this page and I made a little tweak to it this morning and then sent it back to the group and it's kind of looking, you know, looking good.
Yeah.
And then I go back to ChatGPT and when I was designing the podcast and coming up with the whole thing, I created an avatar of my listener.
Okay.
She's called Laurie. And she's probably younger than most podcast listeners, and that might need to be adjusted. Although I can't remember, actually. I think she might be in. Anyway, don't remember. So I created Laurie. And then I fed all of that information into ChatGPT, and I said, okay, create a GPT out of, you know, create basically a chatbot for Laurie of Laurie.
Sure.
So I can chat with my listener.
Fictional listener.
With my fictional listener. Hypothetical listener. And so I did that a while back and, you know, it's had some good stuff. And then, because it's very easy now to get ChatGPT to read from the web. So sure. I literally said, like, Laurie, roast my webpage. And the actual comment I said was, hey, Laurie, I'd love you to roast this webpage. Be brutal. Now, Laurie knows about the podcast Undo.
Uh-huh.
But she doesn't know about the... Because she's not a human... She hasn't connected, and I didn't tell her, and I thought she would actually make the connection, but she didn't.
Okay.
Which actually kind of makes sense, because I created this person, not necessarily... Yeah, anyway. So yeah. So she goes and she looks at the website. Do you want to know what she said?
I would love to hear what your hypothetical listener bot thinks of your Undo membership page.
Okay. So she said, all right, let's dive into this. And every time I pause, listener, and do a particular voice, you have to imagine that I'm doing air quotes because there's a few of these. There's quite a few of these. All right, let's dive into this Club Undo thing. So for $5 a month, they're offering to help you test a new healthy habit each month and take control over your time. Because clearly you couldn't figure out how to journal for 10 minutes a day without their guidance. Oh, and don't forget the group accountability community on Discord, because nothing says personal growth like being peer pressured by strangers online. They've also got a private podcast answering your questions, which is probably just a fancy way of saying, listen to us ramble about stuff you could Google. And those monthly reviews of self-help books? Why read the actual book when you can get someone else's take on it? But hey, if you're into paying for things you could easily do yourself, go ahead and join Club Undo. After all, who needs self-discipline when you can outsource it for the price of a fancy coffee?
Woohoo! Roasted.
Fucking roasted.
I mean, you know, like, she's got some points. Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that's feeling a bit sobering on your end, and not as delightful. Oh, like that's.
Yeah. So I was like, hey. I mean, I did say be brutal.
Yeah. You asked for it.
How could we better signal that this is the sort of thing you'd find useful? All right.
Okay. Well, how about do a complete 180 and help me sell this instead?
All right. If you want people like me to actually feel like Club Undo is worth $5 a month instead of just a glorified accountability group for people who already own too many moleskins.
Oh, shit.
You need to lean into what makes it feel genuinely helpful, not just another self-improvement subscription. Here's where you could tweak the vibe, and then she, like, gives a bunch of suggestions and stuff. And she was like, at the end, she's like, is that all right? Or do you want me to go harder? And I literally said, fuck, I didn't think you could go any harder. Woof. Okay, this is really helpful. Thanks. We'll give it some serious thought. And so, yeah. Who? Like just a brief tangent on this. The people who just like opine on this whole AI thing, it's just the mushy middle, it's just whatever. No. You feed AI right.
Yeah.
And it could give you some shit back.
That's amazing.
So what we ended up doing
we
thank you for I'm glad you caught that as well, Brendan. A friend of mine very much is like, that is how, yeah, and she's not alone. Like, there's lots of people who are like, me and Claude. Claude. So I and the and the vast network of computers in the sky.
yeah.
When I was like, okay, I tell you what, let's do this like bit by bit down the page. I'll feed you the lines and you make them better. And you saw the thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a look at it now?
Oh, sure.
So it's club. It's undo.fm/club.
undo.fm/club. Oh, that's a typo. Club. Oh, this is cute.
Yeah. So
ooh, I like the 1, 2, 3 at the top.
Yeah, so that was new this morning, but it was before I got roasted. And so I got help with those 3 points. And I think it's done a pretty good job. Like it's a lot more like low pressure. The word accountability, I don't even think it's in there. So it's not necessarily using those buzz terms and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's sort of conveying the same ideas. I thought it's fun.
This looks good. This looks a step better. I like it.
Yeah. So there you go. That was a fun thing.
I told you this privately, but I haven't said on the podcast. I have started listening now to Undo. It's fucking great. Super good production. I started with the Lincoln Churchill one. And I was like, whoa, politics at the beginning. But then I could hear, you know, you kind of had, you had both sides represented in a way.
I didn't mention this in the piece because it wasn't, it didn't make the piece any better. But there's a voice at the beginning in that montage that says something like, "We won. If you don't like it, leave." Yeah. That's a guy doing a bit. But I just thought it would work quite nicely in with all of that stuff. He is absolutely doing a bit.
It did sound a bit put on. A little produced somehow. I really love what you're doing with the AI generated quotes, like the voices. That's fantastic. It's cool to be able to hear the old people who weren't recorded.
Oh well, those are just film clips. So of Lincoln and Churchill, those are film clips.
Sure,
but there's a couple of people who are. I think one of whom is still extant. And I was able to get a recent interview clip that I used from. You know, I mean, like all of this is. I shouldn't really do it. I definitely shouldn't do it because I'm doing it without permission. But I am, you know. Being careful to just use the words that they've said and not change them or twist them or anything like that. So it's murky, but I think it ultimately just adds texture to the episode. So it's not just me reading the whole thing.
Yeah. But you're also not like taking a listener view or purchase away from somebody.
No. I am waiting, so it's half term here on in the UK, well, in England anyway, which means schools are out for a week and everything shuts down, which means no motherfucker has paid me. Don't know what it is about the end of February, but it's always an absolute goddamn holy nightmare. I have gotten no money. Anyway.
Yeah.
That aside, I'm waiting on half-term finishing because next week I'm hoping to secure a venue for a community singing group.
Awesome.
That I am rather excited about.
Awesome.
Off the back of conversations we've had, like lots of little things have weaved into this. For years, I keep coming back to wanting to do something. Like, I don't know what the word is. You know what I mean? Like, it's not charitable.
Sure. Of service. Community based.
Yeah, and community based, and where you just do a thing and you don't ask for, you know, anything in return. And you know, my various alarm bells are going off in my head about like how that is perceived and whatever, fuck you. I want to do the thing because I think, you know, I want to do the thing. Like when I was younger and I still think about this, of going to a soup kitchen on Christmas Day. And it may be something that I do because there's going to be a point maybe when I'm older or, I mean, I want to do it before I need a soup kitchen, ideally. Sure. But, you know, there will probably be a point where I'm not having the same kind of Christmas that I have now. And even that's not really the point, even if I am, to be able to say, you know what, this year I'm not doing Christmas Day or Christmas dinner with y'all. I'm going to go off and you know, ladle some soup or whatever, you know, make some sandwiches or whatever for people who aren't getting any love, you know, on this day. And that's been, you know, that's been there for 20 odd years. And I've like never got off my ass about it. And it's not, I don't think it's due to laziness. I think part of it is due to like I come back to this all the time and look and go like, where can I fit in? Where can I do something? You and I were talking on Monday and I was saying we have over here, we have a thing called the Samaritans, which is a hotline, the free number that you can ring if you are just having any kind of mental health struggle. I've used their online service in the past. I've never called them, but I have used their online service to differing degrees of, I don't know. I think it's weird to do it over email because the job of the Samaritans is merely to listen. They're not there to give you advice.
Right.
And I think no, whoever was...
That'd be the worst job for me.
Yeah. Same, I think. You can ask questions.
Yeah.
I believe you can ask questions, but you have to, I think, be very careful about not leading the witness. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your job is the rule is just to listen. And it's staffed by volunteers and that's what people do. And I'd long thought about that and then just thought, I don't think I'm able to, like, I know I'll get a particular call and it will trip my particular wires, my trip sure. wires. Yeah. And that'll be me screwed for a week. I won't be, my nervous system will be all shot and jangled. And I'm not even talking about the people who call you because they're, you know, wanting to not be here anymore.
Sure.
I'm talking, you know, about people who have got very real stuff happening yeah. right now. That's very visceral for them. And like, I can't, yeah. I don't think I'm strong enough. And so that, and I was watching something a couple of weeks ago about knife crime, and it was all also off the back of Trump having basically we're getting into it, and this is not just in the US, we're getting it in the UK as well, where, and we, the UK's had it for a while actually, where disabled people are the default among people is whenever there are benefits or, you know, you have the particular term welfare, I guess. Sure. The default is to assume people are scamming. The default is to assume people yeah. don't deserve it. Yeah. And that doesn't feel great.
No.
When you are a person that you know, makes use of that money, because being disabled is expensive. It costs money to be disabled because there are yeah. aspects of your life that aren't open to other people, and so, you know,
right.
it just is, you know, whatever. And so there was, you know, rhetoric around that, and I was watching this thing about knife crime and all sorts of, and I was just like, got that real itch again of like,
yeah,
I want to do something. And I'm not like change the world, none of that. You and I have talked before and about like just the idea of being there, of kind of just being company of you know, mm-hmm. holding arms out or whatever. And just happened to be with my parents on, it was last Saturday, and a woman came on the telly. I want to tell you about this little thing because it made me laugh from a kind of meta TV making perspective. Mm-hmm. It's a show here with a kind of anodyne comedian, a bit like, maybe a bit like one of your late night ones that's not
sure,
not maybe one like a Seth Meyers, like not one of the great, you know what I mean, not like really yeah. one of the good ones,
yeah.
He's fine, but yeah. And he does this thing where the conceit is that a family member says, we want to give our like mum or a wife or brother or whatever a surprise. And it's usually someone, because it's, you know, they want to pull on the heartstrings. It's usually someone, you know, who does something nice in the community or who's had a bad rap or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it always turns out that they want to sing. It always turns out that like they love singing, and it's yeah. always that they're going to sing at the end of the show. It's never anything yeah. else. Yeah. And they create these elaborate mini pranks where okay. they load someone into the back of the theater. They disguise the theater, the back of the theater where they record, to make it look uh-huh. like a completely different thing. In this case, it was like an Airbnb type place.
Oh my God.
And so they put money into this thing, so it looks legit.
Oh wow.
And so they really do some stuff. And in this one, they so there was some bits, and you know, as it's happening, they're just trying to entertain the audience as well. So they're doing bits and pranks and stuff around the people that are getting the surprise, you know? So you've got, you know, Judith, who is the one who's going to receive a surprise. And so she thinks she's staying in an Airbnb for the weekend. She thinks her husband's whisked her away for a nice weekend in London, right? They've come down from Scotland. They're going to have a lovely time. And then suddenly she's seeing these weird minor celebrities just like acting weird. And the receptionist is asking weird questions, doing weird voices. Why she's suddenly pretending to be Scottish and doing a Scottish impression. It's because the comedian is speaking in that receptionist's ear and feeding her, you know, lines, right? Like very kind of pranky. But all in a, you know, all in good fun. Because then, you know, she comes into the her what she thinks is her Airbnb room, and it's beautiful, and it's, you know, like it looks like really nice. And then she's told to open the fridge. You know, we've left a nice little surprise in here for you. And that's where they overlooked the pudding a little bit, Brendan. But she opens the fridge, and the fridge door is the door from backstage onto the stage of the theater, where there are like quite a few thousand audience people members who are watching the show who suddenly go mental.
And it's just so weird, but I love it.
Yeah. Nine times out of 10, maybe fewer, but let's say nine times out of 10, the person is shocked, right? And they're surprised. And sometimes they're quite old. And so they treat them quite nicely. And they're like, we don't want to give them a big shock. So like, you know, we'll lead them in gently. And sometimes they do the big open the door and whoosh, and everybody's excited. This one, and I said to my parents as we were watching it, I was like, she's not surprised one bit. And it was quite fun to watch because it was just like, she knew. I'm curious to know how long she knew. I reckon it's one of those things, because I can see the conversation happening where, like, maybe it's in Scotland, maybe it's elsewhere, maybe they've come down from Glasgow, and the husband's like, listen, we've got to go. And the wife's like, oh, you know what? I've got loads on. I don't think I can do it this weekend. You know what? The kids have got this, that, and the other. And I know we've got a babysitter, but can we go somewhere else maybe? I know you've booked it. Can we get out of it or something? And the guy, you know, the guy's been, and he's probably got to say, listen, we're going to be on the TV. it was meant to be a surprise, but now I've got to tell you, because she was not fucking surprised at all. But she does her song and it's all lovely. And she's very good, you know, good singing voice. And then she says, you know, she runs a community choir, and it was just one of those things that just went pink, and another little pin just went pink in my brain. And I was like, and I've met a couple of people who run like community singing groups, and they're not like necessarily like, I've got some music qualifications. I'm not a dullard. But, you know, there are lots of people who, you know, proper musicians. But I was like, you know what, actually, I think that's something I can do. And man, would it be a lot of fun. Especially, you know, get a bunch of people around. And we've talked before about like that kind of being my fantasy of my birthday, of just like a load of people sat around the piano.
Yeah.
And it's all about communal singing.
Just make that a weekly thing.
Fucking why not. So I'm in the process of securing a venue that is just up the road from me, because I live 2 minutes walk from a community center. You know, that has this kind of stuff. And so hopefully next week I'll find out if that's something we can do.
Amazing.
Let's see if they'll give us the, you know, place for free for a bit, because what is very important to me is that this is a pay what you can, if you can. You know, and you know, like any money that we do make will, or any money that people donate will go to either the price of the venue or, you know, if we want to do stuff at a later date, like perform, you know, we'll need
for costumes or,
well, I'd probably just say to people, like, just wear something black, like, and we're all just covered in black. Because I think that's kind of a bit more of the right vibe, but more like, do we need things for PA? Do we need, you know, to have a couple of crisscross microphones or something, you know, whatever it might end up being, like stuff that can go into a little kitty, to do all that kind of stuff. But it's really, and I knew right from the beginning, it's like, this has to be pay what you can, if you can. And I'm, you know, emphasizing if you can, because I want people to turn up that can't afford it. Like, I want those people there more in a sense than I do the ones who can afford it, because they're the people who probably need it more.
Right.
You know, there are people I can think of here who, you know, there's I don't know the story. All I've ever heard is what comes out of my window. There is, because there's, I don't know if it's related, but I think there's a head injury clinic somewhere near here. And so sometimes you see people who have been affected by that. But across from me, there is a family with someone that has, I don't, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know, there is a deal, but I don't know what the deal is. And it's enough of a deal that sometimes it sounds like that is a very, very stressful life. I don't know if that person sings. Maybe they'd like to. Maybe they'd like to come and sing some 90s songs.
Yeah.
And how fucking great is that? That, like, they don't have to worry about the cost of living crisis for this. They can walk up the road and in a couple of minutes, they're singing I'll Be There For You by the Rembrandts, you know? Or the first one I went with, because it's just gets us under the wire, is All Star by Smash Mouth.
There you go.
Yeah. Like,
I'm a bit preoccupied with thinking about the prank show. And like,
okay.
If I, like, nobody is picking me to be a contestant on that show. But if they did, I'm thinking, like, okay, I open up a fridge door. It's actually a stage, and there's a couple thousand people waiting for me to come sing them a song. I've got two songs that I could sing all the way through. Neither of them are mine. I mean, of course, but I just feel like I'm packed and I'm holding. I'm smiling. I'm living. I'm golden. She lives for me, says she lives for me, ovation. Her one motivation, she comes around and she goes down on me. And I'm like, wait, probably shouldn't be singing about blowjobs on this prank show.
not at 8 p.m. on a Saturday night.
But then my other song is... y'all know me, still same OG, but I've been low-key hated on by most of these fellas. Okay, I changed the word there pretty appropriately. it's gonna be some F-bombs in that one. So
nowadays everybody want to talk, they got nothing to say, but something comes out with a move of the lip, it's just a bunch of gibberish.
But exactly, forgot about Dre. Love it, dude.
Yeah,
I'm excited for your community choir.
Yeah, so that, and it feels so good. And on that note, I really got into thinking about sort of life design and like design life you want, design and like designing the days that you want. Like, how do you want your days to go? And I'm really interested in the detail and the minutiae of that kind of stuff, because I feel like that's often where a lot of this stuff falls down, is people are like, well, you do this routine or whatever. And it's like, yes, but what how does this specifically work? Like, yesterday I was going, like, literally thinking about how I work things, like I have my little book where I write all my plans and stuff for the day. And I'm like, when do I actually do that? And like, all this kind of stuff. I like piecing that together. But I'm interested in the slightly overall or the slight overarching thing of, like, what do you want your actual week, like, what do you want your week to look like in the best, like, what is the best version of that? And it's, I to a degree, I think I'm, you know, I had that. you know, and I didn't quite appreciate it, and it never felt quite like it was enough. And I think that's the big lesson I took from Podient, was like, you can't always feel like it's never quite enough. You know, if I could have recognized what I had, which was a nice little business, and the ability, if I could stop fucking with it. Something that worked nicely, and I could actually leave it alone, and it would be fine, and I could go and explore and do other things. You know, I think you and I have probably talked about, and I think I've talked about elsewhere, about like 2019 being such a
hard year.
Hard year, but like, from a creative point of view, a great year. because that's when I did improv. That's when I wrote the kids' book. That's when I started List Envy, and we finished Beware of the Leopard. And it was a great time for play. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do that because I had a UBI, mm-hmm. And I was okay. I missed that, you know. It gets me thinking about what's the best version of your week look like? What are the components? What do you want to be doing? And doing long term. Sitting here as I am now near the end of, or as you listener hear this, getting into knocking on March, I'm thinking I've got no money because no one's paying me. That's fine. They will. But it turns out the desire to, help people, to give, to be of service, whatever, it's got fuck all to do with what you have.
Yeah.
It's not to do with that. It's not about whether you have enough or whether you have things. Like, that desire comes from a different place.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from understanding either it's having an abundance mindset or at the very least not having a scarcity mindset and realizing what I do have is time. Mm-hmm. And I want to use that time goodly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a sense of purpose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and in a few different directions, like, mm-hmm. Undo. We've talked about is, and I think it was last week or the week before, talking about sort of that, defining that kind of purpose and the things that you do and the things that you reject are in service of that question of, like, what is the life that you want to be leading, or, what is the theme that your life takes? And then these other things that you do are all around that theme. So for me, like, I love, we made the joke last week in last week's episode about you giving me blue balls with God mode. And I've got another friend who's sort of similar kind of thing. My job to a degree, or my theme, my purpose, if you like, is kind of being a creative diuretic.
Nice.
And
get it out of me.
Yeah, just like flush it, over here we have a company called Dino Rod who I think do that with the toilets, and when you've got a real blockage, that's who you talk to. It's that, like, let's get it out. Let's help you express it. And how cool is that? And then all the things that I do, whether it's undo, whether it's the singing group, whether it's working with you and thinking about opening up my time on a mentorship basis to strangers who want to work with me, like, that's the good shit right there. Like, that's man. It. And that's I want awesome. Other people to be able to find that. And, it takes fucking hell, it takes time.
Yeah.
But it also, it's like, this last point for me is a lesson I think I've been trying to tell myself over this week is, I think I've been waiting for my life to begin. I think I've been waiting for, like, I don't know, someone to tell me that it started, or from some other external cue.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm like, no, it's like, it starts now. Like, it's begun, because I've decided what the shape of it is. And right now, yes, a lot of my day job, less of it than is ideal, but a lot of my day job right now involves, let's ship these podcasts, let's make them really good, let's make my clients happy, let's make good quality stuff. Shipped one today that was very difficult to listen because it's a man with mouth cancer, and you can hear the cancer, and it's, oh, oof. My God.
It gives me chills.
Yeah. And so, doing good work there, doing what I can, but recognizing, like, what the next sort of big purpose is and what that looks like, and designing my days with the assumption that that is already the life that I'm leading.
Yes.
If you know what I mean. Like, I'm already there. So the days need to kind of be around that. And yes, right now, my kind of half nine till half five, you know, 4 days out of five or whatever is paying the bills. Mm-hmm. But the whole life has to be designed around this idea that, no, my actual job, my actual thing is, you know, being a creative laxative.
I love that, mate. And you do that well. Like I feel inspired to push forward.
Thank you.
And my, on my endeavors because of your encouragement and skills. Thinking more about the community choir, it reminds me of how I've kind of recently joined a community choir of sorts. We're not going to go out and perform, but Margaret and I have started going to a church, and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit weird. Not mm-hmm. the church, but me liking it. That part's weird.
Mm-hmm. What's the denomination?
It's
what flavor are we talking?
Non-denominational. So they're really Jesus heavy. Because it's like that's the thing that gets us all together, I guess.
That's the mascot.
Yeah. Which I have issues with. I have notes for this 2,000-year-old organization structure, essence, whatever. I don't know. But yeah, so Margaret's friend goes to this church and only started like maybe a couple of years ago, I think. But she's, you know, she considers herself of faith, and it's really a big, important part to her. And I don't know, she was talking about this church and how much she loved it, and it kind of sounded kind of cool. And then there was like a guest speaker, a theologian, and it was like a big deal that this guy was coming. And so Margaret wanted to go, and I'm like, I'll tag along because I want to tag along anywhere she goes. And and it was pretty cool. The theologian, like he did a great job presenting. And honestly, one of my favorite things about it was it was an analysis of a section of the Bible. You know, it's like the Bible is their core philosophy. Which
it's like a Bible to them.
I have notes. But they,
you can't make notes on the Bible. You can't draw on them. You get very upset.
Yeah, it's sacrilegious.
Margins. The paper's very thin as well. Sorry.
Yeah, I would just rip it up. Scribbling. so they had somebody from the audience read the passage, and then he comes up and he's talking. He's like diving into it and all the, you know, what it all means. But then he also, like, and that's great. And I feel like that's probably church. But what I liked is that he would, because he's studied this so much, he goes back into the original Greek as the, like, how it's been translated and stuff. And he's like, yeah.
Would it not have been Latin? Are we talking?
I don't know. They kept saying Greek.
Okay, because I guess there's Greek Orthodox. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Ooh. Would be the New Testament. So I don't know if that was originally written in Greek or not. But
I thought Latin, but either way.
He mentioned, in the passage, Jesus as a ghost comes to, it's either Peter or it's Mary, Peter, and Thomas. Thomas is the doubter. Thomas, he had to put his hand through the hole. In Jesus, he had put his finger through the hole of Jesus' hand. So it wasn't Thomas, it was Peter. So he asks Peter three times, like, do you love me?
Yes.
And Peter's like, yeah, of course I love you, Jesus. You're mm-hmm. Jesus. And then he's like, okay, great. Do you love me? And he's like, what? Yeah, of course I love you, Jesus. And he's like, great. Do you love me? He's like, okay, I'm kind of getting upset now. Yeah, I love you. Fucking take it. But then the theologian goes into how the original intention for those questions was Jesus asking, do you love me the way God loves everything, the way with the full breadth of love, like the complete, utter passion of love. And Peter's response was, of course, you're my friend. And a friend, you know, a friendship love is a wonderful kind of love, but it is not the same thing as being connected to the world and the universe and everything and the full vibrant love of passion of God. And then he repeats that again. And then the third time Jesus asks, he says, are you my friend? And then Peter's response is, then he gets disappointed. He's like, oh, now you're thinking less of me. Now you know I have less to give. And he's disappointed that he has disappointed Jesus. And like, they're both ways of reading it are interesting, but like that one has so much more depth to it. And I'm like, oh, I mean, that's, so that got me excited. That there was more to it. So that was cool. And then carrying on from that, the actual church itself, the physical space of it was really great. It's a modern church, but not like there's a lot, I've been into a lot of modern churches here in America, and they are just they're just cubes of plastic building materials. It's just like drywall and plaster, and like just as cheap and fake. You go into old cathedrals and it's gorgeous and beautiful and tall and majestic and everything. Not my vibe. That feels very cold and old, and like I'm not into it. I do like the modern, but you know, very modern is so gross to me too. But they have it's like you know, a rustic, not rustic. It's like, you know, just well designed. It's like this giant beam ceiling, and yeah, there's like a lot of wood everywhere. There's a lot of fabric, and it feels like natural materials and not just cheap stuff thrown up. And then they have a live band, which is great. They're actually they rotate between different members that come up, and they're all like super pro, because they're doing a live performance every week, and they're just like really on it. They got the Beatles vibes there, and like yeah, and the songs are actually kind of good. Like there's a couple of them that Margaret and I have been listening to outside of church, because like this one is called I can't remember the name of it now, I Also Will or something like that, and it's like just going through like, oh, you made all of the oceans perfect, and so, oh, so will I. And there's this line like, God gives his breath and 100 billion mistakes evaporate or something like that. And in the moment in the church with all these people singing and like putting their hands up and everything else, I just broke down in tears. I was like, fuck. Oh, like, and it had just come off the time of me opening up about the apple picking and just thinking about all the things that have happened in my life and stuff. And it was like, yeah, it was really moving. So, and the pastor's really cool. Margaret's pointed out that he kind of has like this pop punk voice, and he's kind of like young and hip and like nasally a little bit, and just kind of like into it. He's super into it. and so that's good. Fun. Yeah. But so, okay. So now we can get to the notes, because I do really enjoy it. I like going. I'm gonna keep going back. But what was kind of cool is that it kind of, especially the second time I went, it helped clarify what my doubts are. I knew I had doubts. I knew I didn't really believe the same structure of everything that they believe. Especially yeah, so since
it's interesting you use the word doubt there.
Yeah,
because usually when people are within Christianity or within a faith, they would talk about having doubts.
Yeah,
and is that what you mean when you say you had doubts?
I guess I'm meaning I'm trying to use their words in terms of these are the things that that strike me as ridiculous. The areas of my brain and my way of thinking that are counter to what they are, what they seem to be saying. Mm-hmm. And so I have an incongruity and I'm looking for clarity. And mm-hmm. so that in that way, that's what I mean by doubts. I guess a person would typically use that as in like they consider themselves a believer. And maybe for a while, but then something creeps up and they have a question. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm coming out a little bit from the opposite area, just using their word. And also this is coming, you know, like we've talked before about my mush rants and how I feel completely connected to the universe. And I have exchanged thought words with spirits in multiple forms. And so I like my worldly experience is very different from the rigid structure of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I believe in things that cannot be explained, you know, viewed with eyeballs, and you know, there's magic out there. It's like that's not really the problem. Like Jesus rising from the dead, like okay, I don't know, I wasn't there. Seems unlikely. Especially since it was so hard for him to even, he was so emaciated, it was hard for him to even carry the cross. He's going to have enough energy to then.
I love that that's your note. It's, yeah. Hang on a minute, dude. He fasted for 3 days, you know? Like,
no, I
get it.
You're
all about that.
Yeah, no, I'm all about that. Yeah.
He was just building his strength. He was getting, you know,
he's getting his ketones in gear.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Yep. He became stronger.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yep. Okay. Doubt resolved. and then also, like, okay, the immaculate birth. Yeah. I mean, you're telling me that, and not that
you sound like every,
and not that Mary got
like
around
every 90s knockoff of George Carlin. Now, you're telling me. While we're at it, what's the deal with airport food?
What the clarity that came to me in my latest church endeavor was I have a problem with the personification, gendering, and patriarchal depiction of God. Mm-hmm. If God has to be gendered, God is a woman. Like, women create life. They're fucking mm-hmm. magic. They're incredible. Like, what in the world? Gendering God as a male feels like a man grasping for relevance and dominance. Like, it's like this is a joke, right? I'm baffled by that. So, in my view, God is beyond gender anyway. God is everything. I am God. God is creation. It's
heretic.
Not.
Can't say these things to Christians.
I also like
he's a man in the sky with a beard on a cloud.
Oh my god. And I my god. And that's one of my questions. It's like, okay, I'm in this room with all these people. All these people, are they thinking that God created us in his own image? So yep. We look like God? So we this is what God looks like. He's like, we could see him if we could see him, which we can't because he's invisible and ever present.
Yeah,
but if we could see him, we would see this, and it makes me like, okay, with it's not the same relationship, but if we were to zoom down into our cells and our atoms inside my body, I have created them that. They're not all Brendan shaped inside of me. They're kind of like circles and amoebas and that kind of like
The bits of goo.
Amorphous, you know?
Yeah. Blobs. We're made of tiny little blobs.
I mean, are you and I like amorphous god shapes? Like, is that what's going on? I don't know.
I'm definitely amorphous. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, if I was made in God's image, then that's fine. Just God should eat fewer cheeseburgers. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know. No.
Or I'm already perfect because I'm...
You're already perfect. You're in God's image. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the thing about Jesus, like... Okay, so I thought we were all the Son of God. But apparently... He's the special one, even though, like, yeah. and he is special. Like, I'm not get as
no knock on Jesus. Like, you know, no
great dude.
No shade on the dude. Great lad. One of the great lads.
He reminds me a lot of the Dalai Lama in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And like, so there have been other great dudes.
Yep.
Is that okay? Okay,
great dudes in history.
We're really into this one because
we just chill.
You know, reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And. He is used solely as the focus for prayer and praise.
Mm-hmm.
And that Jesus is the only one that can save us. And he is the one and only. And that feels like false idolship to me. Like, if...
But he is also God.
But so are we.
No, I don't think we are in the Christianity sense. We are his children. We are not God. Not in the Christian canon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In your canon, yes. And I understand that. But I think in terms of Christianity, we are God's children. We are not all God.
Yeah. All right. It's just it feels bad.
Oh yeah, no, it's all bad. Like, it's not good. It's not good. It's not a net good for society, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Team sport of it is no. I don't know.
Yeah.
As much as I, you know, don't necessarily share your belief structure in terms of, or have thought that much about, you know, the we are God of it all. That is a personal belief that I find far more interesting than one that we've borrowed, because it has been a way to subjugate people, because that is how I view it.
Same.
You know, when I think of Christianity, when I think of most religions, and that's why I kind of look at Judaism and sort of go, okay, I know there's a lot of guilt there, but also, like, there seems to be a sense of humor and a wryness and a sort of an understanding of the world, and judgment feels very different than it does in Christianity. And I know there's this whole, like, wave of the cool pastor and whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of most organized religions, I think of judgment. I think of being told how and what you're doing wrong and how you should be doing this and how you should fear, like, and there's the whole, I mean, the whole stuff about how much of a fucking pussy God is in terms of, I need you to love me. I need you to show me that you love me all the time, because I don't know. I need you to show me. And if you don't love me enough, I'm going to kill you and send you down to hell. But I love you, but you've got to love me back. And if you don't love me the right way, don't love anyone else. Do not love anyone else, because if you can have love, but if you love anyone else above me, I'm going to send you down with all the bad people. But I love you. Like, it's, you know... And the idea that we have a God that is good and just, and I'm borrowing this argument from other people. I'm specifically borrowing it from Stephen Fry, who put it so elegantly when I think some fucking Christian asked, sorry, I'm getting animated now, but some fucking Christian like asked him, what would you do if you were faced, you know, if everything you... eschewed turned out to be true and Christianity's real and there's a big beardy God guy living on a cloud and you go to visit him and he says, Stephen Fry, what have you got to say to me? And Stephen's response was, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you create a world where people are born into suffering? Think of, like, and I literally am borrowing this from Stephen, children born with brain cancer.
Yeah.
How dare you create a world where that exists?
Mm-hmm.
You are capricious. You're mean. You are self-centered, self-aggrandizing. And so that's why I don't have a very good relationship with it all.
Yeah.
Because I, my all or nothing, probably autistic, needs to get diagnosed brain has a very difficult time living in the mushiness of that.
Sure.
Living in the bits of, and this is part of the problem with a lot of faith, I think, is people pick and choose the bits that suit them. We can talk about the Bible bashing whole stuff about you mustn't lie, a man mustn't lie with another man, but a man can own another man. That's in the Bible and that's all okay.
Right.
There's those discussions we can have. But I slightly lost the thread there just because of apoplexy. But
yeah, I came to this, wonder the other day when I was talking to Margaret about these same doubts. So I was like, people take parts of the Bible literally and parts of the Bible as metaphor. Like, to me, I've always thought the whole thing was metaphor. But if we were to take some of it as not metaphor, like what, how do we pick and choose? Like what, how do you know?
How are we supposed
to
know?
And I was like, oh, is it the Old Testament is metaphor and the New Testament is literal? Like, is that what people are doing? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting thought experiment.
It was a document designed to control people. It's that
100%.
We don't need to overthink it. We don't need to think about whether it's metaphor or not. It doesn't matter because it's there to it's there to control. And I was thinking as you were talking earlier, and the word doubt, I was sort of really interested in, and it got me thinking about the book and the TV series Silo, and there is this conceit. So the very, very, very brief thing of it is, for whatever reason, apocalypse, something, mm-hmm. something apocalypse. And like 10,000 people live in a big silo, big bullet shaped silo in the ground. And it's illegal to, you can't leave. But at some point someone will declare that they want to leave and they will say they want out. And that is then a huge thing. And so they are sent out. They're sent out to clean, which means cleaning the cameras that show you what the outside world looks like. And it is basically a death sentence to say you want out of the silo.
Mm-hmm.
You want to leave the silo.
Mm-hmm.
What that says to me is the same thing it says about doubt. And not now, not in a modern world where we are a lot more tolerant and we are a lot more understanding. But, go back enough 100 years.
Right.
And I think the same thing would be true. Like, we know Galileo copped shit. We know Darwin copped shit.
Oh, yeah.
We know Hawking had to cop some amount of shit about God. He had to put God into his work. He's a man of science.
Right,
he's an intelligent man. And he had to put some God shit into his initial papers. The idea of saying you want out of the silo is to say you want death, you want out of the tribe, you are excommunicated.
Right.
What part of that has any constructive value in society?
There were also scientists that legitimately had faith.
Yes.
And like to them, it wasn't one completely defeats the other. Like science completely defeats faith because.
And I've met people who are like that as well.
Yeah, like
because for them,
faith is
like,
beyond, and science is the ever marching forward of trying to prove faith.
Yeah,
in a way, it's continually finding new ways of discovering and understanding the world that we live in, and. It's like faith hasn't been disproven yet. And so it's still a theory that can be believed in. kind of thing.
And it's, yeah, essentially my understanding of this is from having a conversation with someone I like a lot, and who is very intelligent, more intelligent than me, and is also someone who believes in God. It's like, you know, they also believe in science, and it's just yes, but God. So you can go, yeah, all the things about science, all the things, but God at the top. He's the one at the top of that. It's like all the things that you believe, but God at the top. God did it all. Like, okay. So yes, the two things do coexist in people's brains, and they live with that ambiguity every day, or that not ambiguity, but that whatever the word is. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah. Like for me personally, as a person who's primarily believed in science my whole life, the Big Bang always seemed like, well, yeah, that's just God, right? Like, okay, it was all microscopically dense, which is impossible. Because water can't compress, but whatever.
The whole thing's impossible. Absolutely, yes. And, you know, the universe is expanding into what, as we've discussed before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, okay, sure.
Yeah,
okay. Also, then, what created that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, cool. Yeah. I don't, and this is one of the things about getting older that's so much fun, is being able to go, I don't know.
Like, yeah, no
I
idea.
I don't.
And does it matter to me?
Yeah, like, I don't... Doubt is the wrong word. What am I trying to say? Like, if it turned out that there was a God, my belief system wouldn't be shattered. I'd go, right. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's just not the one that...
Yeah.
It's just not your... Not that one. Mm-hmm. Because that one sucks.
Yes.
That one,
for sure.
That is the one that you didn't, that you made up before you knew there was a God. That one sucks.
The one that you
one
use to manipulate
awful
people.
Things.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I think actually, if it turned out I'd be like, fucking great. Let's go and have a word. Like, I'm genuinely, this is fascinating, and let's find out. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would be shook, because. Yeah. My faith isn't based on science. My faith is based on, my faith is based on, what am I going to believe tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to learn tomorrow? Who's going to tell me I'm wrong about something tomorrow? Like, what do I get to learn? And the idea of a big revelation where they go, yeah, we finally met him. And he's a man in a shack, you know, and it's like, awesome. Let's ring him up or whatever. Like, I'm being flippant, but,
sure.
I am here for that. Just not here for that guy with the beard. Because that guy sucks.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you've had kind of similar situations that I had. And Margaret didn't have those. And it was interesting because, like, when I would talk to her about my feelings about religion early on in our relationship, she was so confused because she was in these churches that were like, Imago Dei that we're going to now, which it like completely different than that. It's all about love. It's all about acceptance. And it's like, if they took the words, if just Jesus, like even like God doesn't trigger me anymore. I found out now it's kind of just Jesus, but
yeah.
If they just took the Jesus worship out of it, 100% cosign everything that they're saying. It's a beautiful message of just peace and love and acceptance.
Absolutely.
And togetherness, community. There's so many different, they have so many different ways to take care of your kids so that you can come and be in a community. It's beautiful. And that's kind of similar to what Margaret experienced with her childhood church, and so different than what I experienced when I was either forced to or opted to go to these awful churches. Yeah, it's kind of fascinating how flipped it is and how abusive it is, taking such kind of beautiful message and using it to manipulate. And that's, you know, that's human. That's what we do.
It is. And I feel compelled to make the point now that, like, I think everyone I've ever met who does a church thing is nice and good. I've been the one who's been the prick. Absolutely 100% of the time when I've had conversations with religious people, I've been the one who's been the dick. Sure. And the judgmental one, like absolutely hands down every time.
Good self-awareness.
Like this isn't the fault of individuals. And it's also not to say like they're sheep who don't know what they're, no, they're intelligent people. They, and it comes back to a little bit about like picking and choosing the bits that you can receive. Cause like, I think if you try to receive the whole of it, it is too difficult to live with, but we all live with incongruities. We all live with, what is the word? I mean,
hypocrisy.
We all live with minor hypocrisies and major hypocrisies every day. We all walk around with you know, with clothing that was made by children in sweatshops. We all, walk around. Yeah, we all walk around with phones that were made by people in factories with suicide nets to stop people flinging themselves over the side. These are things that are in our society, in our lives right now. These are incongruities that we deal with.
Yeah,
and we don't face them. Yeah. And so, you know, that is no different, you know, for anyone listening to this. Like I don't think I'm attacking the religious, I'm attacking religion and I'm attacking the leadership side of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Not the people who are part of it, because they're just trying to have a Tuesday. They're just trying to do their best. And I think they want to do their best. And like you said, like they want to care for people. They're here for caring for people. And I think if you had individual conversations with most of them, they wouldn't be like, they wouldn't care if you were on a different team. I don't think they would, because they actually just want to help people and they want to care for people. And that's partly what drives them to be there. So I kind of just felt compelled to make that point. As much shit as I've given, like, I think the vast majority of the spirit that goes into that stuff is absolutely from a good place.
I view Genesis a bit differently than most people. But when they say that God created the world in 7 days, like they take that a bit literally, and like the seventh day God rests, which is wholly fun. So funny. Like God needs to rest. He's all powerful. Anyways, I don't view those as calendar days, because you know the calendar wasn't created yet, but it, you know, just periods, like they're just sections of time, like the dinosaurs. You know, it could fit in there. It could fit into Genesis if they didn't believe it as a rotation of the sun around the earth, or vice versa, as we found out later.
Galileo.
But you know, that was, you know, hundreds or thousands or millions of years is that day, quote unquote day. And right now we are living in Sunday. We are living in God resting and kind of taking a back seat and just like, hey, I made a fun game that plays with itself. I'm just going to check it out. I'm just going to watch that for a little bit.
This is my Sims. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're also like, say God did create the world in 7 days, and it was Sunday he rested, and he just wanted to rest. He didn't want to do anything else. He didn't ask for us to pray for him on Sunday. I guess maybe he did later, but I'm just taking, like, are we sure that this Sunday is actually on the same rotation as the first Sunday? Like, who was keeping track? Was Adam writing down the days of the week every day to make sure that it was always
fucked? The whole thing's fucked because
and then when the world was flooded and like it was just Noah and his family and all the animals, and like, oh, gotta keep the calendar because we gotta make sure that we only pray on Sundays and
Noah's watching for sunset, so he knows when new days passed.
And then when they, you know, they go through and change the calendar for Julius Caesar, and like, I don't even know all the history of that. Like,
yeah, you got Gregorian, you got Julius.
Yeah.
And then there were all sorts of weird things. One of the things you learn if you dive into, so as a programmer, you learn never to fuck with dates and times, because they're haunted. They are a nightmare. Because of all there's great like little kind of bits online that you can find about this kind of stuff. And Tom Scott has done a bunch. It's like, you assume, well, there's 24 hours in a day. You're not always. Sometimes there are slightly more, slightly less. You assume there's, you know, the big ones we know, we assume there's 365. Well, no, there's not. There's only 365 days, three times out of four. And right. then the other time it's 366. Five and three quarters. It's not even six.
And yeah.
And then you think, okay, fine. All right, we can code an exception for that. But we know that there are so many time zones, and they're all like different number of hours apart. Yeah, except for these couple of places which are half an hour apart.
Yeah.
And you're like, fine. But we all know we can start on this common date, right? We can use this common date here, like 1st of January 1970. Yeah, that's fine. And so we can go back. So using that number as zero, we can store in a database the number of seconds that have gone forward in time and backwards in time. So that's great. So now we can depict any time in history by counting back the number of seconds and storing that. That's cool. But what about this change here to this calendar that was observed in this country but not observed over here? Yeah. So the time, like, it's the whole mm-hmm. thing is an absolute mm-hmm. viper's nest. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious when you start digging into it, because it's just like so many exceptions that you think are true. So yeah, like in no way are we on the same cycle.
Yeah,
all of that to say.
Yeah. And I've assume that we'll never get to the point where we can have the 13-month calendar with 28 days a month, and then one remainder day is New Year's Day, and then could also, you know, you could just add an extra non-month day for the leap year day.
Yep.
I love that design. Because, like,
I also so much was just thinking, I love the easy. Idea of, because you were talking about like the rotation, and are we going to, like, I was thinking about, like, are we going to line up again with the actual, like, true Sunday? Sure. And it got me thinking about, do you ever have a DVD player and you watch the screensaver and it's the bouncing DVD?
Oh, yeah, and you wait for it to get into the corner.
And you're just hoping that it gets into the corner. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is what we're waiting for, because we're waiting for that moment where the universe, where Earth mm-hmm. basically just goes beep, finally into that corner,
yep.
which means we've lined up and we're back to a true, the Sunday that was imagined in the Bible is now the same Sunday that we're experiencing right now.
The planet aligned.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah. Did they do that in the American Office, I think?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Michael Scott was given a talk, and no one was watching yeah. because they were all watching the Dunder Mifflin logo.
Yeah.
Bouncing. Yeah. That's exactly what I was depicting. That's exactly what I was picturing in my mind when I was talking. Because it's brilliant.
It's a good bit. Well, as always, correct me if I'm wrong.
In nomine Patri go hoax. I love Gregorian chanting. It's nomine Patri, but it's an import. It's so soothing. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I do love. It's nomine
Patri, but makes me want to yawn.
All those, yeah. All those voices in unison. It's lovely.
It is.
It's a very nice sound. Wow.
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 Wow.